Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a 3-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This is Cynthia Ganoff, and you are listening to the Mesmerized Podcast. Hey guys, welcome to Mesmerized. Today, we have Candace Cameron Bure with us. You guys, I'm dying over here because I love Candace Cameron Bure. And I have proof of my love for her because, you know, on your Netflix account, how there's like a little emoji, or it's really not emoji, it's like a picture next to each person that is a part of your account. So there would be one for like mom, dad, Kate, Brett. The picture that my kids put on my little emoji thing next to my name on Netflix is a picture of Candace because I love her so much. Yes, I do. And then there's the whole Hallmark thing and Christmas movies and love, love, love the Christmas movies. And I was a huge Hallmark fan and now great American Family Channel fan. And then there's the QVC. You guys know I have a little situation with QVC, right? Like I love QVC and I watch it all the time, especially at Christmas, rarely buy anything. But what I love about it is I start watching, I'm like, huh, that's weird. I don't need that. And then by the end, after they're done selling it, I'm like, yeah, I probably need that. Well, you know who's on QVC all the time? Candace. Yes, she is. It is my dream to be on QVC someday. I don't have a product. I have nothing to push, but I need to be on QVC. And then there's the whole, you know, I want to be an extra someday in a film. Anyway, I could go on, but I will not. But what I do need to tell you is that two somethings kind of bad happened. Number one, because I'm at the age where I get really sweaty when I'm nervous. Well, I was nervous, so I turned on a fan in my office, and I'm so sorry because you can hear it in the audio. And so chalk that up to being over 50 and needing a fan on when you get nervous and sweaty. The second thing, well, it was tragic yet funny. I decided I was going to do a bit at the very end with Candace. A bit. Like I channeled my inner Jimmy Fallon. Now, nobody has ever been like, hey, I bet Candace would like to do a bit with you. No. And no one's ever been like, hey, Cynthia, I think you'd be good at a bit. I don't know. I just went rogue. And I'm going to tell you something. It's somewhere between painfully awkward and hilarious. She, of course, was a pro and darling. And so like, yes, whatever you want to do. And I was not that. I was awkward. And I nearly edited it out and cut it. But then I thought, no, you guys deserve to hear this because I think you're going to get a good laugh out of it. So anyway, I'm so happy to have Candace here talking out everything from body image to standing up for your faith to how she met her husband, all kinds of stuff. And a new movie she has coming out that she is a part of that she produced, Unsung Hero. It's about Helen Smallbone. You know, the Smallbone family, two of their kids are for King and Country. Another one is Rebecca St. James. I interviewed Miss Smallbone on my old podcast, and she really is incredible. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that movie that is coming out in April. And so be sure that you are watching for that. In a couple of weeks, it will be out. But for now, here we go with Candace Cameron. Candace, I'm so glad to see you again. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm so glad to see you too.
Well, this is super fun. And I'm going to tell you something you're not going to remember because you talked to a million people on any given week. But I interviewed you like a couple of, maybe a year or two ago on my old podcast. And at the end, you said, we had so much fun. And you're like, if you ever need anything, I'm your person. And I was like, well, that's cute. And you're like, no, I mean it. And we left it at that. And I want you to know, Candace, that it stuck with me. And there's someday, Candace, I'm going to come knocking. But I've been laughing about that, how good. Much fun you are. Aww, and at the end thanks. Of this podcast, we're going to do a little something fun related to that. So I'm setting you up for it. But all that to say, thanks for being here.
You're welcome. I can't wait.
Well, let's talk about some fun stuff for a minute. I know that all of us know you. I know you as Christmas greatness because, you know, I love all you do. And then, you know, there's the DJ Tanner, obviously, and lots of other things. So what's something we don't know? Give us a fun fact about you.
I seriously feel like everyone, if you're a longtime fan, I feel like you know everything about me because I'm an open book.
But you know what? Some people, I heard you say this recently, that some people didn't know who your brother is.
Yeah. Mind blowing, right? But I feel like, so I can't really use that as a trivia fact because I feel like most people know that, but there's this like 1% that they hear, oh, Kirk Cameron is your brother, Candace Cameron, Kirk Cameron. Yes. Like,
yes. It's not a coincidence. Yes. I've interviewed him too, and he's a blast as well. But okay. So
did you know my son got married last month?
Well, I saw it. Yeah. Instagram. Okay. And that's amazing. What kind of mother of the groom were you?
A great one. Come on. What do you expect?
Did you serve oranges? Because I'm making a reference to your Instagram. If y'all don't follow her, you need to. But she's got this thing with these oranges on the airplane. And I'm always like, God love you, Candace, you're darling. Did you serve oranges at the wedding?
I did not serve oranges at the wedding, but I did have it, I think, the morning of the wedding. I brought two boxes over as we got ready. All the bridal party, I had oranges, I think, at the bridal shower. And these are sumo oranges. This is sumo citrus. And like the actual technical name for it, because they come from Japan, it's the Dikopan. And it is this hybrid of a mandarin and an orange. And they are the juiciest, most easy to peel orange you've ever had. And they're a little tart. They're like really sweet with a tartness. And they are delicious. And I should be their spokesperson. They don't pay me to say this, but I have one almost every day while they're in season, which is like January to April. And they are my friend. They travel with me every day.
Candace, this is a sad friendship you have with your Dikopan.
I get Instagram messages now that people are like, I'm waiting for sumo season to be over. I am tired of your orange posts.
No, I think they're hilarious, but I also think it's funny that we're like, tell me about the wedding. And then you're like, yeah. Oh, well, there's these oranges. Well, you're amazing and you're so much fun. And you are, if you're not following around social, you need to be. But I'm really, and we talked about this last time, we have to talk about your fitness because you're young, but you're young, like my kind of young, not like 21 young. And like your workout videos and it's amazing. And so I just need a little bit of insight in this. You really enjoy it. Like that's part of your routine.
Really
clears your head.
Yeah, I really do. I've been working out since I was 16 years old, and that was for different reasons, which were a little bit more negative. But then when I got into my 30s, like after I had my kids, and my husband's a professional athlete, so there was always this encouragement of fitness and good nutrition and all this kind of stuff. But in my 30s, I finally figured out and found out like what I love to do for fitness. Because I hated getting on a treadmill or a Stairmaster or going, you know, 30 minutes, that's boring, that stinks. And then once I figured out like, oh, I could go ride a bike. I could go hiking in nature. I love those things. And then I kind of felt like a kid again. It began an enthusiasm for me with fitness. And then obviously you feel better, your clothes fit better. So it has all of these great things. And now, you know, even with my mental health, my fitness is so important to me because when you sweat, it releases endorphins. It just changes your mindset. Even doing like, you know, a little snack, a little fitness snack in the middle of your day just kind of will boost your energy up. So I really love it. And then I found like the trainer of my dreams, Kira Stokes. She's out of New York and she's one of my close friends. So we've been working out together for like probably 9 years, maybe 10 years now. And a lot of it is like, I do it off her app. It's not even in person because I'm on the West Coast, she's on the East Coast. But man, she makes fitness fun. And I love being strong and I love being to out push up people. And, you know, I'm like, I'm a competitive girl. So there's good things all around with fitness.
I love it. Well, last night, the pastor of our church and his wife were over and they were talking about the podcast. I mentioned that I was going to be talking to you today. And she was like, oh my gosh. And I even follow her fitness person. And they were going on and on. And then it makes me nervous because I interview a lot of people. And every time if I mention your name, everyone's like, oh my gosh. And so I'm like, gosh, don't mess it up, Cynthia. Get it right over here. So Candace, I'm giving you the very best I have to offer, which very often is not that great. But nonetheless, well, I'm guessing it's been complicated as we were talking fitness, complicated kind of working through the whole ideals of maybe Hollywood and just being on TV and what people's public opinion on appearance that you've had to deal with more than any of us would have had to. Sticky process to go through, I'm guessing, for you. And is there a word for it on the other side of it for people that probably don't have your platform but have had to really manage their thoughts and give it back to the Lord on appearance and where our values are?
Well, I think it resonates in a negative way for a lot of us because of social media. So even if you're not a public person, we're now being faced with images all day long. If you are on social media, you're seeing your friends, you're seeing celebrities, you're seeing yourself, and then you're like, oh, am I measuring up? Do I look as good? Should I put a filter on this? Oh my gosh, I see my wrinkles because I'm staring at myself in my phone all day long, like all the things. And it's really bad for us. You know, with all the great things that happens with social media, there's equally an amount of negative things. And, you know, I think being a public person, it's had its challenges over the years. Sure. I mean, I've been on television since I was 5 years old and then literally went through the most formative years in front of millions of people on Full House. So from 10 to 18, and you think about how much your body changes and you're growing and, you know, with acne or your body
everything.
You know, developing, it's like horrible to do this in front of millions of people. So to some extent, you know, you form thoughts and opinions about yourself that aren't always the healthiest, but I don't think you need to be on television to form those types of thoughts. So it's that part's been challenging. And yet that's another reason why I love fitness, because it does just, it makes me feel good. But as I get older, here's the thing that I think of a lot. I am so grateful that I have a mom and dad who are healthy and they are in their 70s. My mom's in her 70s. My dad's 80. And they look amazing. My mom and my dad have never done anything ever to their face or their body. And so from that practical standpoint, I'm like, if I look at my mom at 73 years old and that's what I'm going to look like, she's never had Botox or a filler or even a facelift or like nothing. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, I got some good genes going on. I'm looking forward to that.
Yes. And
but it's something that helps me keep it in perspective. Because I just look at them and the joy in their life and the joy in my own life. And you think about the things that are really meaningful and that really matter. And I'm like, at the end of the day, does it matter if I'm in a size this or a size that? It really doesn't. Is someone going to love me more because I am thinner or because I have less fat here or because I have less wrinkles there? No. And these are the types of things that we just need to keep reminding ourselves and take it to the Lord and be like, Lord, help me focus on the things that really matter, that are life-giving, that develop my relationship with you. And while I always want to look my best and I think appearance in that way, I feel more confident when I'm dressed well and when I have some makeup on and I've had my hair done. Like, I feel great when I do that, but that's not the focus of my mission or my purpose in life. So help me to balance those things to have a healthy perspective of feeling good, feeling confident, but not taking it to the extreme that my worth or my value is a part of my appearance.
Yeah. Yeah. I got hives on your behalf when I started thinking about you going through Fuller House and all of the Full House and all of the like teenage and junior high years and all of that. Listen, Candace, I mean, I'll be in therapy later. We can just save for my therapist, but I got a training bra with two older brothers in the house. Okay. And I'm still trying to work through that, much less the platform of everyone in creation. But let's talk Full House for just a second. And so we lost Bob Saget 2 years ago. Is that right?
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Yeah. I feel like that was a loss to so many of us because he was kind of all of our like TV dads, so to speak. And I know this is a question you probably get asked a lot. And there's no way to quantify that relationship. But just in looking back, I was wondering like if you can pinpoint some things that like really stuck out that he was to you. It'd be really interesting to hear that.
He truly was one of the closest people to me in my life. And I have so many great memories with Bob, not just on the set, because he cracked us up every day. I mean, he, at the time of Full House, was doing America's Funniest Home Videos at the same time. So like during our lunch breaks, we would go into his dressing room all the time and watch all the videos that they were sorting through, because way back then, you know, this is early 90s, like they got a VHS tape and they'd have to stick it in the VHS recorder to then play it back and see what they were going to air. It really was people's home videos being sent out. So the amount of videos that we watched in his dressing room with his writers and producers while they made jokes on them, I mean, that is just precious to me. It was so much fun. And then we hung out a lot. Bob was just he was my cool friend, like my cool older friend that could take, and that's the thing. He has daughters that are, they're a little bit younger than me, but still, you know, close in age. They're in their 30s now. So it was like, he had the caring nature of being a dad when he was with us girls, like always. But yet towards the end of that show, and then throughout my whole life, like when I got into my 20s, he just became like my cool friend. And we would go to concerts or comedy shows, and he, you know, knew all these famous people. So for me as like a 20-year-old to be, you know, now have my husband and we're like, oh, we're going to go see this show with him, because Bob was just the most inviting person. And Bob was one of the biggest loves and helpers that I knew in life. He truly had a servant's heart. And so Bob would drop anything for anyone to help them, no matter who you were, no matter how close you were to him or not. If you were like, my grandmother is trying to see a doctor because she has this, Bob would be like, okay, I know a person. Let me make a call. Even if it was like a person that he met on an airplane. And that's no joke. That's who Bob was. And he was just a beautiful human being that, of course, had all of his flaws and faults and everything, like we all do. But if you knew Bob, you knew a true friend.
Mm, and what a great way, like if that could be said of all of us at the end, mm-hmm. that, you know, we're the kind of people to drop anything for someone, and to know us as a true friendship, like what a beautiful way to live your life. And so, well, I love that. Let's talk faith for a minute. And I think so many of us have really watched you live out your faith. And it's interesting because I know your faith story, and we can talk a little bit about that. But I know that you didn't necessarily grow up in a fully like faith-filled home in the mm-hmm. earlier years. Your mom had a faith, but y'all weren't like super active in church and all those things. And now I look at you and your family, your brother, you know, especially y'all that are in the public light. But I'm just wondering, like looking back, what was that turning point? What was that influence of like, where did it turn into like, yes, I believe in Jesus, but not only do I believe in Jesus, like it's going to come at a cost, and it's a cost I'm willing to pay.
Yeah. So I really found my faith for me and dove into it around 25 years old, once I had my kids. Because again, I considered myself a Christian in my teen years, but listen, like I've got kids, they're all in their 20s now, and they all love Jesus. They do. But I've seen throughout their lives and their teenagers, just like me, you can love Jesus, but you it's a whole other thing when you're actively pursuing a relationship with Jesus.
Yes. Yeah.
So, you know, and that's like, we sometimes find that at different ages. So for me, it's like when I decided, hey, I understand the gospel. I now understand my need for Jesus as a savior because I'm a sinner, because I don't measure up to God's standard. That's when my life really changed and I started actively pursuing my relationship with God to know him and know the word of God. And I mean, I'm obviously incredibly grateful in that God gave me this amount of time that I walked away from the business to raise my kids. And that's when I really grew in my relationship with him and would spend time with him. And it was, looking back, I see that it was all preparation time, not only because I was now training my kids up in the Lord also. I mean, that's a whole other topic about motherhood and doing that. But within the industry and fighting for what you believe, I just see that as all, you know, 10 years of preparation that God was just molding me into the woman he wanted me to be. And me not knowing that I was even ever going to go back into the entertainment industry. But once I did, I was a very changed person. So I was like, oh, I get it. I now understand all of the teachings that my mom was trying to teach me when I was a teenager. I now understand the reasons for it, which I might not have when I was 12, when my mom said like, hey, we're not going to work on that show because it's working on a Sunday and you already work 5 days a week. We need a family day and God says to give us rest, one day of rest. So you're not going to work on that day. And as a kid, I was like, but I want to do that, you know? And I now understood those things. And so, you know, now I'm just all in for Jesus. I'm a Jesus girl. So I understand at this point that I am going to be persecuted at times, or, you know, people will say whatever they want about me or disagree with me or think things that go against what I know my character to be because they just have thoughts about me, but I can't help that. And at the end of the day, I'm going to stand before the Lord. I'm not going to stand before that person that doesn't like me. And while I really want that person to like me, it's not as important as me honoring the Lord.
And I think that's such a good word for all of us, because I think about that time when you're home with your kids. Of course, you would never trade that, but it would be easy to be watching around and looking around and being like, I'm missing out, or these, maybe I'm never going to have a chance to get back in the industry, or all these things. But really during that time, that season of quiet, the Lord was using that to prep you for what was to come.
Yes.
And putting you on that firm foundation and giving you those deep roots that you were going to need later. And what a good word to all of us in those moments where it's easy to look around and be like, I'm missing out, or why is the Lord not offering this opportunity, or whatever the thing is, even with our kids, and to say like, okay, let me step back and maybe this is the training ground. And what a gift that has been to watch for you as you've done that. And
yeah,
and just thinking persecution too with you, like, you know, we think of persecution a lot as people, you know, that are dying literally for their faith, those kinds of things. But we've watched it with so many of us in our own lives, but with you. And I'm just wondering if you could go back and tell yourself, like maybe you're like 20-year-old self something, you're 20-year-old, maybe baby or faith kind of self something. Mm-hmm. What would you want to say? Like, knowing what you're going to walk through and knowing where you are with the Lord now, what would you tell yourself? Any good advice?
Oh my goodness. I would tell myself to read the Bible more. Honest to God. Like that's what it is for me. And I also, like, I couldn't imagine back then that I would be where I am at 47 years old. And just what you spoke into, that preparation and that training time, like, you really don't know what God has planned for you. And even though you're taking your own steps and you're, you know, paving your way as to what path you're going to take, you still never know in life the doors that God is going to open and close. And so if I could go back to my 20-year-old self, I would say to her, you have no idea what's coming. So prepare yourself as much as you can. And that preparation comes from reading the Bible, and read it and know who he is so that you can make the best, most honoring decisions that you can at the time, and know how to fight back.
That's a good word. Yeah. Yeah. I've been saying recently, like when I've been speaking in places that, you know, if your theology doesn't line up with your reality, it's really not theology. It's some good advice. And I think that's what I found that the Lord's done in my training grounds too. Those places where I'm like, why isn't this door open? Or why haven't, you know, whatever the thing is. And I'm realizing like, if my theology, if what the Bible says isn't lining up with what's going on Tuesday and how I'm raising my kids or when my marriage gets strained or the finances are tight, like, then what kind of theology is it? And I just love that the Lord is so real. And if you are in his word, like he is just reforming your thoughts and mind. And so what a great challenge to be in God's word. All right, let's talk about your family. We know you're married. By the way, married to professional athlete, that's tough business because I just married a college athlete and I can barely walk. And so you can imagine like the scrutiny I've taken, Candace. I mean, I literally, like one of our first dates, he invited me to be on an intramural team in law school. And then he saw how heinous I was at intramurals. And I was like, and this is where it starts. And so tell us about meeting your husband and just kind of what that's looked like.
It's such a cute story in that. So my husband's from Moscow, Russia. He was born and raised there, came over to the U.S. when he was 17 years old to play professional hockey in the NHL along with his brother. And they used to watch Full House to learn English. Yes.
Isn't that
so cute? So I went to a charity hockey game. Dave Coulier, who played Joey on Full House, invited me. I was there with Lori Loughlin, John Stamos, Bob Saget. We all went to the hockey game together to cheer Dave on. But Dave introduced me to Val and his brother at the game. And they're, you know, these two really cute Russian guys. But I loved Val with his like blonde flowing hair underneath the helmet. You know, he was really cute. So he asked me for my number and I gave it to him. And he called me the next morning at 10 a.m. and we went and had lunch. It was, you know, that's how we met. That's how it started. And within, he was playing on the East Coast for the Montreal Canadiens. I was still on Full House for the last year of the show. So he courted me and we just talked on the phone for 6 months before he finally was like, are you going to come visit me? And I finally said yes. And within another 6 months after that, he proposed. And And now we've been married. I just had to count it in my car yesterday. I was like, oh, I'm getting to the point where I don't remember how many years I've been married. But we've been married 27 years. It'll be 28 this summer. It's crazy. Wow.
I know. I'm at 23. And I know it feels like yesterday and yet a long time and everything in between. But I mean, it's a really sweet story of how y'all met. That's funny that he was learning English from you the whole time.
I know.
And did I hear you say somewhere that you didn't really date before him or not much? Is that right? Or did I make that up?
No, I really didn't. I had a couple boys I liked in my teenage years, but I had never gone on a date with someone I didn't know. That's for sure. But, you know, I'd gone out like to prom or to with guy friends that I knew. I went on a couple of dates like that, but I didn't date one because I was working on Full House and there just wasn't a lot of time, but also all the guys at that time, my age that were 16, 17, 18, I was a full-time job for almost 10 years.
Yeah.
And so there was a maturity to me that at, 16, most guys, their frontal lobe is still forming.
Yes. I have a 16-year-old. Speak no more. I'm following you. Yeah.
So that's why I was like, cool. Love hanging out with you in a friend group, going to movies, but like not boyfriend material. You don't even understand what life is all about yet.
Yeah. That is,
But my husband did because he had been already a professional player, like was in the system. Mm-hmm. He was very mature for his age. So,
And I heard you say something cool about just saying the fact that your relationship was long distance just was such a gift, actually, because it allowed you to like know each other before there was like, and the physical component, not necessarily speaking to intimacy, but kind of, right? But you had this opportunity to know each other. Yeah.
Exactly. You really learn. You learn about someone when you're only talking to them. And it was so helpful. So I really knew after 6 months of talking to him almost every single night that like, oh, yeah. I like this man, not just because he's cute, but because his character
yeah.
and his family relationships and how he loves his mom and his dad and how he cares mm-hmm. for his brother and as a teammate. Like there's all those things and you learn someone's heart and that's so much better yeah. because the physical in the immediate can just mm-hmm. overshadow everything.
Everything else, right. Yeah. yeah. Okay, so you've got a new project coming out I'm super excited about. And I am because I kind of – well, it's called Unsung Hero. And what I love about it, it's a movie, and we're going to let you talk about that. But mm-hmm. it's talking about the Smallbone family. And I got to interview Helen Smallbone a couple of years ago, a couple of times. And I mean, what a powerhouse. But for everyone listening, yeah. it's for King and Country, that family. And so just tell us a little bit about the movie and you know why you got involved.
Yeah, I can't wait for everyone to see this movie. It is one of the most beautiful movies I've seen. And it is about the Smallbone family. So you know Joel and Luke from For King and Country. And you also know their sister, Rebecca St. James. Some people don't realize that they're related. But, you know, if you grew up with that Christian pop music back in the 90s, like, you know Rebecca St. James. And so this is about how their family migrated from Australia to the U.S. and ended up having really not a penny to their name when they got here. They lost everything. And it was through really hard work and people at the church and friends that helped them to get on their feet. And their dad, who's been a music manager his entire career, managed tons of incredible musicians over the years. There's a moment when he realized the talent that was sitting right in front of him with his kids and how they all kind of paved the way to not only help their family grow, but then nurture them into these incredible artists that they are today. So it's a beautiful movie. It's a true story. And I co-produced this movie. And then I have a little part in it. I play a real woman. Her name's Kay Albright. And you might not recognize me right offhand because I have like this really big curly red hair in it. So I don't quite look like myself, but that's what she looked like back then. And yeah, she was just one of the people in their lives that really helped them through the church get on their feet. So it's in theaters April 26th. I really hope these are the kind of movies that, you know, as Christians, as believers, we go out and we support them and we make sure that Hollywood and the big studios know that these are the films that they want. They're beautiful and beautifully done. And the stories are powerful. And bring your tissues, because I promise you, you're going to cry unless you have no feelings at all. But even if you only have one feeling, I feel you'll like cry. You're going to cry.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I'm sure I sobbed with Helen Smallbone. I interviewed her in Nashville one time and I just remember she left. And I was like, wow, like that's greatness. So, well, yeah. I'm excited about that. Okay. Candace also, everyone, if you don't know this, you should know this, has an unbelievable podcast. In fact, one of my very dear friends I was with this morning was on it. Heather McFadden was on it one season.
Yeah.
And I know you do a lot of cool things. And so everyone check that out. Tell us anything else that's
going on
that we can be watching for, Candace.
Well, you mean on the podcast or just in general?
Just in general. Point us to anything, any other projects that
I would love to. About. So, of course, I am at Great American Family Channel. I would really love if you tune in and find our channel. I've been there for 2 years now, and I'm also an executive at the network. So I have a lot of pride in this network, and I have new movies coming out. I'm actually leaving very soon to go film my newest Christmas movie that you'll see at the end of the year.
Yes.
But I have a new mystery series that's coming out on Great American Family. And so if you miss them from the other channel that I was on, we got a whole new pack of mysteries coming. And we have a really wonderful Easter movie that I produced that'll be out Easter weekend as well. So there's so much great content on Great American Family Channel. And that's kind of it. Otherwise, you know, check out my socials because I post everything, all the things that I'm doing.
I mean, when she's not acting, everyone, she's eating an orange. It's fine, everyone.
That's all I do. I only eat oranges in my spare time.
That's right. Okay, this is how we're going to wrap it up. And this is borderline going to get weird and may have to be edited out, Candace. But at the beginning, we reference that you said anything you ever want, Cynthia. And this is the anything I ever want, Candace. Are you ready?
Okay, I mean, I'm ready.
It's a weird but a small ask. Candace, when we were talking last time, and I called you the queen of Hallmark, but now I'm calling you the queen of Great American Family Channel. And I said, I mean, I'm not saying I'm a great actor. I mean, I've never had any training.
Do you but want to be in a Christmas movie?
Well, stop, Candace. Calm down, okay? But I wouldn't say I'm bad. So I decided this is what we're going to end with today. I don't know what an audition's like in Hollywood. You've spent your life doing this stuff. And I Googled it because that's what one does. You Google, how does this work? And how do you read lines? I'm like, okay, this is how we're going to end it. Candace, we are going to do, this might be closer to improv than my audition,
okay.
But are you ready? Based
ready.
On a true story, you're the 911 operator, and I am going to show you my acting prowess, and you're going to, and then you're going to respond, and we're going to do as if this were a reading for my audition. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
So you're the 911 operator, so go ahead.
911, how may I help you?
I've got an emergency here. Sorry, I'm a little out of breath. I have plantar fasciitis. I'm pretty close to menopause age, but I'm calling because my husband's stuck in a tree and it's COVID and I don't know what to do.
Yes, ma'am. Well, stay calm. Stay calm.
I'm not calm, ma'am. My husband's stuck in a tree.
Okay, can you see him? Is he breathing? Is he alive?
He's alive. He's alive, ma'am. What happened is it's COVID and he got bored because he couldn't go to the firm. And so he cut off the wrong branch and I don't think he can get down. Can you send reinforcements?
Can't get in. Yes, ma'am. We're working on that. We'll send out the fire department. In the meantime, do you have a ladder?
Well, yeah, that's how he got up there. He got up there with a ladder, ma'am, but he's cut off the branch and he can't get back down. And again, I'm kind of old with my plantar fasciitis and my menopause, and I might be having a hot flash, but I don't know. And so I'm going to wait on you, but your best advice is you'll just send someone and I'll wait and be calm.
Yes, we will send someone. They're on their way right now. Stay calm. Keep your eyes on your husband. But if you could move the ladder to where he's still stuck up in the tree, that would be helpful. Maybe he could walk down himself.
Okay, that's good. Now, just real quick, we're going to flip it because I want people to see that I still am good. But I'm the 911 operator. We want to see you do it. So I'm calling. I want to know your emergency. Are you ready? You can use my same emergency or come up with your own, Candace. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
911, what's your emergency?
Yes, ma'am. I'm about to get on an airplane and they took my oranges away. They took my oranges away in customs. I can't fly without an orange.
Are we talking vitamin C? I mean, are you deficient, ma'am? What's going on with the oranges?
No, I have very special oranges. It's my travel companion and they just took it away from me. It is an emergency. I can't get on this airplane without my orange.
See, I can't even finish it because you're too funny. Well, okay. So I guess my last question is like, what do you think? I mean, I'd be a good extra, right? I mean, do I have something? Is there something there? Would you have brought me back in for a second reading? You have been like, who is this hit? You can be honest, Candace.
Well, I'm going to be really honest.
I'm ready.
Fact is, I will bring you in for voiceover anytime because really you're speaking to me and it's voiceover and a mic. You would have to stand up and actually act out this whole thing for me to see what your whole acting skills are. But on your voice and expression and I mean, I would hire you in a second for voiceover. But
Candace,
do I think you could be a background extra? 100%.
There you go, 100%. Everyone. You've heard it. This is my next career. Candace and I only talk every 2 years, but by golly, in 2 years from now, I will remind you again that you said I could do voiceover work. So thanks for that. You've made a girl happy. Hey, no, in all seriousness though, Candace, thanks for being here. You're always so much fun.
You're so welcome. Thank you. So are you.
Oh my gosh. Well, we're going to link everything in podcast notes, you guys, and make sure that you are checking out the movie and let's like support what Candace is doing. And really, when we have faith-based movies and content, we need to be behind that. So we're all in, Candace. We're your cheerleaders.
Thank you.
Woo! Okay, the fact that you're still here tells me you listened all the way to the end and you heard the bit. Are you mortified for me? Feel free to send me a DM, send me an email through my website. We can discuss the fact that I never need to do that again. You can tell me we're good enough friends. You can say, please, Cynthia, never again. But I hope you had a good laugh and enjoyed it. You guys, can we start a campaign to get me on QVC or at a minimum? I mean, she said I could do voiceover work. How do we get that going, everyone? All right. I'm so thankful you're part of this. You guys, we have a few more fun weeks of April shows coming up. And then we are starting a whole new series in May through the summer that I think you're going to love. More is coming your way on that. But for right now, take a minute. Will you leave a review for the podcast? I haven't asked you to do that in a long time. That's a huge help for what we do. Would you take a minute? Would you leave a review and rate the podcast and share it with a friend? You guys, thanks for being a part of the Mesmerize family. You're the very best.